Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada. Canto 4, the creation of the fourth order, chapter 21, instructions by Maharaj Prithu. Today's text, number 37. Majata teja prabhaven mahadhibhis. Ma jatu teja prabhaven mahardhibhis. Tatikshaya tapasa vidyaya cha. Tatikshaya tapasa vidyaya cha. Vedi pyamane jita devatanam. Dedipyamane jita devatanam.
Dedipyamane jita devatanam.
Kule svayam raja kula dvijanam.
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 Ma jatu teja prabhaven mahardhibhis. Tatikshaya tapasa vidyaya cha. Vedi pyamane jita devatanam.
Vedi pyamane jita devatanam.
Kule svayam raja kula dvijanam.
Kule svayam raja kula dvijanam.
Chant. Translation. Ma,
ma,
never do it.
Never do it.
Jatu,
jatu,
at any time.
At any time.
Tejaha,
tejaha,
supreme power.
Supreme power.
Prabhave,
prabhave,
exhibit.
Exhibit.
Maha,
maha,
great.
Great.
Riddhibhihi, by opulence. Tatikshaya, by tolerance. Tapasa, by penance. Vidyaya,
by education.
Cha, also. Dedipyamane. Upon those who are already glorified. Ajita Devatanam. Vaishnavas. Or the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kule. In the society. Svayam. Personally. Rajakula. Greater than the royal family. Vijanam. Of the Brahmanas. This is Maharaj Prithu continuing to address the citizens, and is taking a little different tack today in the flow of the chapter. This morning he says, the Brahmins and Vaishnavas are personally glorified by their characteristic powers of tolerance, penance, knowledge, and education. By dint of all these spiritual assets, Vaishnavas are more powerful than royalty. It is therefore advised that the princely order not exhibit its material prowess before these two communities and should avoid offending them. Please repeat. The Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are personally glorified by their characteristic powers of tolerance, penance, knowledge, and education. By dint of all these spiritual assets, Vaishnavas are more powerful than royalty. It is therefore advised that the princely order not exhibit its material prowess before these two communities and should avoid offending them. Srila Prabhupada has written a rather extensive purport, so try to hold your attention. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Prithu Maharaj has explained in the previous verse that the importance of devotional service for both the rulers and the citizens of the state. Now he explains how one can be steadily fixed in devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while instructing Srila Rupa Goswami, has compared the devotional service of the Lord with a creeper. A creeper has a feeble stem and requires the support of another tree to grow. And while growing, it requires sufficient protection so that it may not be lost. While describing the system of protection for the creeper of devotional service, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has especially stressed protection from offenses unto the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. Such offenses are called Vaishnav Aparad. Aparad means, quote, offense. If one commits Vaishnav Aparads, all of his progress in devotional service will be checked. Even though one is very much advanced in devotional service, if he commits offenses at the feet of a Vaishnava, his advancement is all spoiled. In the Shastras it is found that a very great yogi, Durvasa Muni, committed a Vaishnava parad, and thus for one full year he had to travel all over the universe, even to Vaikuntha Loka, to defend himself from the offense. At last, even when he approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in Vaikuntha, he was refused protection. Therefore, one should be very careful about committing offenses at the feet of a Vaishnava. The most grievous type of Vaishnava aparad is called Gurva aparad, which refers to offenses at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. In the chanting of the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this Gurva aparad is considered the most grievous offense. Gorora Vagya Shuti Shastra Nindanam Padma Purana. Among the 10 offenses committed against the chanting of the holy name, the first offenses are disobedience of the spiritual master and blasphemy of the Vedic literature. The simple definition of Vaishnav is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A person who immediately reminds one of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is a Vaishnav. In this verse, both Vaishnavs and Brahmins are mentioned. A Vaishnav is a learned Brahmin and is therefore designated as Brahmana Vaishnav, Brahmana Pandit, or as a Vaishnav and Brahmin. In other words, a Vaishnav is supposed to be a Brahmin already, but a Brahmin may not be a pure Vaishnav. When a person understands his pure identity, Brahmajanati, he immediately becomes a Brahmana. In the Brahmana stage, one's understanding of the Absolute Truth is mainly based on the impersonal view. When a Brahmana, however, rises to the platform of personal understanding of the Supreme Godhead, he becomes a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is transcendental even to a Brahman. In the material conception, the position of a Brahman is the highest in human society. But a Vaishnava is transcendental even to a Brahman. Both the Brahman and Vaishnava are spiritually advanced. A Brahmana's qualifications are mentioned in Bhagavad Gita as truthfulness, mental equanimity, control of the senses, the power of tolerance, simplicity, knowledge of the Absolute Truth, firm faith in the scriptures, and practical application of the brahminical qualities in life. In addition to all these qualifications, when one fully engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, he becomes a Vaishnava. Prithu Maharaj warns his citizens who are actually engaged in the devotional service of the Lord to take care against offenses to the Brahmins and Vaishnavs, offenses at their lotus feet are so destructive that even the descendants of Yadu, who were born in the family of Lord Krishna, were destroyed due to offenses at their feet. The Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot tolerate any offense at the lotus feet of Brahmins and Vaishnavas. Sometimes, due to their powerful positions, princes or government servants neglect the position of Brahmins and Vaishnavas, not knowing that because of their offense, they will be ruined. Ma jatute japravaveen mahadibhis tikshaya tapasa vidya cha deidipyamane jita devatanam kulesvayam rajakula vijanam. Om agyana timarandasya gyanam janasalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha vancha kalpataru vyascha kripa sindhu devacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Maharaj Prithu has been instructing his citizens in different parts, in different phases, and like a good teacher, he drew a very wide circle. Now he's getting more to the transcendental point. From verses 14 through 26, Maharaj Prithu was telling his citizens, perform your duties according to Varnashram. Varnashrama charabhata purushena purakpuman vishnuravadvite panta nanyatto. Tattosha Karanam. This is Panva Purana, classic. It's Vishnu Purana, 389. Prabhupada would quote this a lot in connection with classic Vedic Varnashram, that human life is meant to be organized and divided according to natural Varnas, and there's stages, ashrams, and this is the way to please the Lord. So, then in texts 27 through 33, Prithu Maharaj is making the point that do your varnashram duties, but perform them for the pleasure of the Lord. And this gets the consciousness more tuned in, tuned up to what's the purpose of Varnashram anyway. And then in verses 34 through 36, he also was stressing even more the goal of prescribed Varnashram duties is to please the Lord. And now, starting with this text, through text 44, he's going to tell us how to do that, how to really please the Lord. And it's very significant what he's saying. The first thing he's saying is, you know, we say, in at least in American English, we say, don't shoot yourself in the foot. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. And what do they say? They say, if you can just keep from shooting yourself in the foot, after a certain number of years, somebody's going to call you a genius. Just because you haven't shot yourself in the foot, you know, by doing silly and stupid things like that. So how to become fixed? So he says, Ma jatate jat pravaveen maharadibis. Don't try to show off or upstage or neglect people who are very, very dear to Krishna. Now, Maharaj Prita was coming from realization on this point. Who was his father? Vena, who not only neglected the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas, but he systematically and deliberately persecuted them because he was proud. He was too proud. He was, you know, Krishna does a great impersonation of a demon in the 16th chapter of the Gita. Ishvara hamaham bhogi siddho ham balavan suki. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. It's a whole five series soliloquy. He's Krishna. He can impersonate anybody. So he's impersonating a demon. You know, if you look at those verses, it's a great impersonation of a demon. So Maharaj Prithu, he's saying, don't do this, and he's speaking from personal realization, because the what did they do? They killed his father. Kill him! When it became too much. You know, they're very tolerant, they're very patient, but they're not going to, they can only put up with so much. You know, he stopped all the jagat. The purpose of human life is sacrifice. It's to make everything sacred. Sacrifice, to make sacred. So he was stopping the whole thing. So when it got to be too much, ha ha, kill him, kill, hanta, ha, kill him. And immediately, finished. So, majatute jak prabhavim mahardibis. You shouldn't try to show off your puny powers in front of the Brahmins and the Vaishnava. Kule svayam rajakulad vijanam. It is therefore advised that the princely order not exhibit its material prowess before these two communities, and should avoid offending them. Now this might strike the ear. Sunk in duality, as my ears are always sunk in duality, as a little strange, because I thought God was equal to everyone. Why is he playing favorites here with Brahmins and Vaishnavas? What is this all about? So in the Bhagavad Gita 9th chapter, 29th verse, Krishna does two things to answer this. He does say, Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshosti na priya. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But then he turns. What does he say? Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. But one who renders service unto in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. So Krishna is equal to everybody, like a good father. But when that good child starts to come, finally, after eons and eons of turning away from the father, the good child comes, starts walking back to the father. Oh, and he takes a personal interest. Yes, as Prabhupada would say, you take one step toward Krishna, he'll take 10 steps toward you. So Brahmins and Vaishnavas, especially the Vaishnavas, they're very dear to Krishna because they are engaged in helping the Lord with what's sometimes called his most glorious pastime, bringing us all back, you know, bringing us all home. He's so kind. We just imagine if somebody just neglected you, you know? Somebody neglects you, somebody ignores you, somebody even maybe appears to hurt you. You're not going to be very inclined toward that person. But Krishna is so kind, he stays with us life after life. Imagine if you found out from an astrologer or a palmist that you were going to be a pig in your next life. Yes, I went to this astrologer and he looked at the map of the stars at the time of my birth. He looked at my palm, they perfectly matched. He said, you're going to be big. So you go to your friends and family and you say, well, I just found out where I'm going to be in my next. And I know you love me so much, you're going to come with me, right? You're going to come to the pig pen with me. No, sir, I'm sorry. Love has its limits in the material world, right? The closest thing, Prabhupada said, is the love of the mother for the child. The closest thing to unconditional love. So love has its limits, and our dear friends and family will maybe surprise and shock us by saying, no, I'm sorry, I cannot do that. Oh, I thought you loved me. Not like that. So the Brahmins and Vaishnavas are very dear to Krishna because they assist the Lord in bringing everybody back home directly. In America, there's always people running away from home and people being kidnapped and missing. And so they put big notices up in the post office, you know, $1,000 reward if you get Jenny back. In Hawaii, they put 100 notices if the cat's gone. If you see this cat, $100 reward if you find this cat, you know. So, and then the person's so grateful if you find their cat or if you find their child. So this is the business of, especially the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, simply to educate people in their spiritual identity, bring them back. Krishna says, Nachatasman manusheshu. There's nobody more dear to me than this person, directly reclaiming all the runaways, all the rebels without a cause. Like that. So, but again, it's very interesting. Prabhupada, he takes this line. He says, Ma jata te, this is Prithu Maharaj. Ma jata te jat prabhaven maharadibis. Never do this. Never try to exhibit your puny power. And Prabhupada, he takes this hint of neglect. And he focuses almost the whole purport on aparad, because he knows this is the big creeper killer. And this creeper metaphor comes from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, who identified himself as the tree of devotional service and the chief gardener, inconceivably simultaneously. And then when he's instructing Rupa Goswami at the Shashvamedha Ghats, Prayag, he says famously, Brahmanda Brahmiti Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. That we wander up and down the universe through so many species, and then when we become Bhagyavan, we become so fortunate, then we receive from the pure devotee of the Lord, the creeper of devotional service. Just five verses later. The big warning, big red light, big flashing lights. Yari Vaishnava Parad Ute Hati Mata Upadeva Chindetar Sukhiya Pata. That don't commit offense. This offense at the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas is like a mad elephant. It will go into that garden, it will uproot the creeper, smash it to bits. So don't do this. Now, and then Prabhupada in the purport, he identifies especially Gurvaparad, offense to the spiritual master, as really grievous, egregious, you know, grievous offense. But any offense to a Vaishnava, any Vaishnava, is grievous. 1972, famous letter, Srila Prabhupada writes to a godbrother of mine, who had an MBA from Harvard, Master in Business Administration in Harvard, was on a member of the GBC, and he wrote Srila Prabhupada a letter complaining that the devotees, they're always fighting so much, and this is very disturbing, and the reason they fight is because they're so impersonal. They treat each other so impersonally, so insensitively. Now, undoubtedly there was merit to what he was saying, but because Prabhupada knew the consciousness of the person writing the letter, Prabhupada wanted to make a point to this person. So Prabhupada came in from this angle. And the angle is, without having the letter in front of me, I can tell you in a gist form, Prabhupada said, it is not because, it is not, devotees are not fighting, they don't have differences because they're treating each other impersonally. They have differences because they're persons. Because they're persons. And then Prabhupada takes off on a whole tack where he's describing the spiritual world. And he's talking about how in the spiritual world there's differences. And it's not utopia. Prabhupada uses the word utopia. It's Greek. It means no place. There's no place where everybody agrees. Even in the spiritual world. Prabhupada said the difference is that in the spiritual world, there's no difference of opinion about who's wonderful. It's Krishna. And so they're all trying to serve Krishna. But they sometimes clash. You know, just like we sometimes clash, and you know, I might say, oh, I can't relate to that person. You know, yeah, of course I can't relate to everybody because I'm tiny, I'm Anu, and only Krishna is Vibhu, and he has unlimited energies and he has infinite capacity to relate to all of his parts and parcels. So Krishna can relate to everybody. This is Krishna. He's Raso Vaisa. He's the reservoir of all rasas. He's Akila Rasamrita Murti, he's the form of all beauty and the reservoir of all pleasure. He can relate, he likes to do different things, unlimited different things, which maybe I, as a tiny spark, can't relate to all those things, you know. And they can't relate to me, other people can't relate to me. So Prabhupada is going on in this letter, and he's saying, don't expect utopia. Don't expect utopia. Even in the spiritual world, Prabhupada even uses the word lacking and defect, words that you don't ordinarily hear in connection with the spiritual world. And then he ends up like this. He says, and he gives an example of envy. He says, so somebody pleases Krishna, and then somebody else is thinking, oh, they please Krishna so much. And it's kind of an envy, it's kind of a jealousy. I want to please Krishna better. So this is an eternal, you know, competition. So Prabhupada says to his disciple in the letter, so don't expect utopia. There will always be differences because we're persons. And just know this, that every devotee you should think like this, Prabhupada said. You should think like this. Every devotee is the best person in the world. All of them. Better than kings, Prabhupada said. And so that was very interesting how Prabhupada came in on that angle here. So, better than kings. And that's what King Prithu says. That these kings, they shouldn't try to, you know, neglect the Brahmins or show off in front of the Brahmins or exhibit their prowess in front of the Brahmins and Vaishnavas because they're all better than kings. And you will kill yourself. If they don't kill you, you will kill yourself by those offenses. So just before class, Mother Siddhi said, Prabhu, you didn't get a chance to speak yesterday, so can you say one thing about Prabhupada? So I will. Krishna had fun with me yesterday. I was sitting there on the white, you know, on the island of white sand. And I had all my notes, you know, and I was thinking, boy, I'm really together, you know. If they call on me, I got lots to say. So Dwaita Chandra was going around and saying, Prabhu, sir, it just isn't enough time, you know. I said, okay. So this is what Chris is Krishna, you know. You think you're together, huh? Well, you just be quiet. Just be quiet. Just open your ears. Anyway, I'll leave you with one memory about Prabhupada. Right on the day Prabhupada disappeared, and this memory appears if you had the good fortune to watch Yadavar Prabhu's Following Srila Prabhupada DVD series. Which he has to redo because so much more came in afterwards. He's got to redo the whole thing, which is great news, right? Second edition, revised and enlarged, you know, and more. It's unlimited. So anyway, on edition one, the last DVD, number 11, the very last memory, it was brilliant stroke that Yadavar ended the whole thing with this. And it's our godbrother B.B. Govinda Maharaj, who at the time was Ayodhyapati Prabhu, who had been holding on to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet along with Rajendra Nandana Prabhu, and in Prabhupada's house, and then Prabhupada leaves, and the Kaviraj goes, he's gone, Prabhupada's left through the mouth, you know? Like that. And then, of course, Prabhupada's divine Vapu is taken around Braj in Vrindavan, and they come back, and then there's this, the setting of the Vapu in the ground, and everything is finished, and Ayodhyapati, or Bibi Govinda Maharaj, tells that he was like totally devastated, as we all were, and just in a daze. And then out of nowhere, a godbrother of Prabhupada comes up to Ayodhyapati Prabhu. And this godbrother was famous for always chanting Hare Krishna and always playing a drum, Akinchana Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj. And he would visit Prabhupada in his last days, and, you know, it was such a grave scene. Prabhupada, you know, you've seen the films or the pictures, Prabhupada practically has no body left. He's there, like, you know, on his bed, gaunt, like Ranti Dev, the devotees were saying, or some saying like Bhishma, on the bed of barrels, still dictating the Bhaktivedanta purports. But when Babaji Maharaj would visit Prabhupada, they just became like cowherd boys. They were just joking and like nothing was wrong, you know. They were just in Golok. So anyway, so Ayodhyapati is there. He's devastated after Prabhupada's tirobhav. So Babaji Maharaj comes up to Ayodhyapati and says, "Did you know? Do you know? Do you know that your spiritual master is the greatest spiritual master who ever lived? Do you know? Do you know that?" Now here is a Diksha disciple of a ray of Vishnu, a Shaktivesh avatar, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, saying this to Ayodhyapati Prabhu. "Do you know that your spiritual master is the greatest spiritual master who ever lived?" And Ayodhyapati Prabhu just doesn't know what to do. He's just devastated. He's Hare Krishna. "Do you know? Do you know why he's the greatest spiritual master who ever lived? Do you know?" Now Ayodhyapati did not even know that Babaji Maharaj spoke English, because he was famous for always walking around with a drum, chanting Hare Krishna, and laughing. And people would ask him a question. Whenever people asked him, he would just laugh and say, "Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna!" But here he's very grave and he's very articulate. He's speaking perfect English. And so Ayodhyapati is stunned on that count, and he's also stunned because Prabhupada just left, and he's stunned by what he's saying. "Do you know why he's the greatest spiritual master who ever lived? Do you know why?" "Because he did what no previous acharya ever did. No avatar ever did. He spread Harinam all over the world. That's why he's the greatest spiritual master who ever lived." And then on the DVD, you just hear Prabhupada bhajan, and that's the way the whole series, it's perfect. And that's the way in this class. Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Any questions? Yes, Mahatma Prabhu.
Kind of asking for a clearer definition of offense, where, let's say, you and I have an argument, and then I get upset and I tell Jivananda, say, "Oh, Suraswara is this or that," you know, and you tell someone else, Jagjivan, "Oh, Mahabha is this and that." When is it just an argument or disagreement? And at what point does it become offense? What would we have to say or do for Krishna to consider that an offense? You understand where I'm going?
In other words, so let me just see if I can rephrase that. So, you're talking about me.
Right. Hypothetical situation.
All right. Oh, that's all right. Fine. Very good. I prayed the Lord to Shrigadeva this morning again. Please expose all my... he reciprocates. He's right on time. He's always... All right. So you're talking about me in a negative way?
We had a fight. We got upset. So now I'm angry with you, and I'm telling other people. You're angry with me. You're telling other people. Is that an offense, or what would constitute an offense? Does it depend what we're telling other people? Does it depend how upset we are?
I don't know. Janina. You tell me. You're the. You know, it's we're all persons. So if you, I can tell you one thing. Krishna says in the next verse, 9:29, then 9:30. You know, api chet. So even if one, what to speak of starting to gossip about somebody, Krishna says, sudaracha. If you do something, you know, what's the offense that even, you know, if you go to prison, what's the offense that the prisoners will kill you for? Do you know? Yeah, child molestation. Then they'll kill you. Because they can't, you know, even though in those guys in prison, they have their limits, right? So Krishna says, even if you do something, the most amazing, you know, crazy thing you can imagine, horrible thing you can imagine, Krishna says, apichet sudaracharo, the most horrible thing, bhajate mam ananyava, sadareva samanyam mantavya, samyag vivasito hisa. The operative phrase in that verse is samyag vivasito hisa. I may be addicted to sinful activities, and I really, but I feel terrible about it. Krishna says, that is samyag vivasito hisa. I don't make a philosophy out of my sinful activities, I don't brag about them, I don't, you know, try to excuse myself for them. I think, actually, I give the devotees a bad name. I'm the black sheep in the family. I give the devotees a bad name. Krishna says, that's a saintly person. So I think what you're describing, Mahaprabhu, is maybe, you know, the beginning of something. But I'm sure, because you're samyanga vasito hisa, we're going to get over it. We're going to make up. But yeah, it's the beginning of that. You know, it's the beginning of that stuff. Because we get it's an offense to take an offense. Yeah, here we have this Bhakti Sadachar course that Bhakti Brihat Bhagavat Maharaj gives, and the ultimate remedy if you feel somebody has offended you, we do this exercise in the class. So you feel I've offended you. So here's the ultimate remedy for that hurt. You go to the person you feel has offended you, and you beg that person's forgiveness for taking offense. Wow. Am I ready for that? I don't know. You know, try me. Try me sometime. But anyway, it's bad business. Jesus said, as you have done to the least of them, as you have done to the least of them, so you have done unto me. You know, so we don't get into this game of trying to judge who's higher. And, you know, of course, the worst is Guru Parad. But yeah, it's bad. It's bad stuff. Don't bad-mouth sadhus. And in his commentary, if you've heard the late, great Purnachandra Maharaj give his Gita-mrita, Gita Nectar, and he goes through the Vishwanath's whole sequence of Arjuna. Arjuna can't get this. How can you say this person's saintly? Krishna gets really mad. He said, I say he's saintly. You believe it. You stop this. You stop this line of argument, saying, Arjuna is saying, oh, I can see if he's done something bad and he gives it up and he has remorse. But how can you say somebody who's addicted to sinful activities just because he has this remorse? Krishna says, I say that. Samyanga vasito hisa. Don't bad mouth sadhus. He's going to die trying. to serve me, even though he's addicted to sinful activities. Yeah? So, can you add something? Yes, Ragatmika, Mataji. Another late great.
Pusha Krata Prabhu's translation of the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Lord Chaitanya says that whoever avoids blaspheming the Vaishnavas, I personally will deliver them. And he says, but if one is even, this is just paraphrasing, saying something that is a fact that a Vaishnava has done, which is not so pleasant, that person will not be delivered by me. Even if it's a true incident or whatever.
Right. Yes, we can be so right and be so wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Because Krishna, we have to be restored to Krishna consciousness. What is Krishna? He doesn't look at our bad stuff. He's Bhavagrahi Janarda. He just takes the little good and he blows it up like so great, you know. Or else how could I make any progress, right? So Prabhupada would always say, be like the bee, go for the good. Don't like the fly, going for the bad. So Krita Maharaj, by dint of his own hard-won experience where his father was so egregious, he's warning his citizens. Okay, now we're going to talk about how to advance in devotional service. Don't neglect, what to speak of, offend Brahmins and Vaishnavas, and it's going to get better from here. So it's getting late. Thank you for listening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.